3 months after a federal jury sentenced Jahar Tsarnaev to death for the Boston Marathon bombings, his lawyers are appealing both the sentence and the conviction. Among their arguments is that it was impossible for Tsarnaev to receive a fair trial in Boston because of all the publicity surrounding the case. But not all of their arguments are known. That's because about a third of the appeal is blacked out from public view. While the trial is over, Judge George O'Toole has taken no action yet to end the secrecy around many parts of it, including the identities of the jurors who sentenced Tsarnaev to death. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
In a democracy, criminal trials should not, as a rule, be decided by anonymous persons. So wrote the U.S. Court of Appeals here in Boston in 1990. That principle of openness has a clear upshot, according to George Freeman, the assistant general counsel for the New York Times for 30 years.
Basically, there's a constitutional right of access to everything coming out of a trial, and that includes the names and addresses of the jury.
There are few exceptions allowed by traditional law and precedent, which require a high threshold of what the courts call specific and convincing reasons.
Particularly in cases where there's concern about the personal safety of the jurors, and often anonymity is provided before a verdict is reached.
That's Robert Birchie, general counsel to the New England Newspaper and Press Association. In the case of domestic terrorist Jahar Tsarnaev, as disturbing as the facts were, federal judge George O'Toole never made any such finding that jurors were in danger. By the government's theory, Tsarnaev had acted as a so-called lone wolf, along with his brother, who was killed.
It is by far an aberration, particularly in Massachusetts, for jury lists to be withheld.
Even in high-profile and contentious cases, the state Supreme Judicial Court ruled in February, it is beyond debate that absent extraordinary circumstances, the identities of jurors are presumptively public.
There have been decisions where the names of jurors has been deferred for 7 days or 10 days.
And in the trial of Whitey Bulger, the judge held the jury list for 14 days, the longest delay in anyone's memory. Now comes Judge O'Toole, who has withheld the jury list for 90 days so far. Observers say it is unprecedented. Here's George Freeman, now with the Media Law Resource Center in New York.
3 months is an awfully long time, and there's no possible rationale as to why there should be such a delay.
Judge O'Toole, who we tried to reach yesterday, has made no statement and given no explanation why he has not yet released the jury list. He has not responded to motions filed by the Boston Globe, joined by WBUR, asking that he release the list. And what draws still more attention to O'Toole is that neither the U.S. Attorney's Office nor the defense oppose the release of that jury list. Again, George Freeman.
The problem is that judges in high publicity cases tend to think that because there's a lot of publicity, that's a reason to change the rules. And if anything, that's backwards, because it's just in those cases that the rules should be followed and the presumption of access should exist, because those are the cases that the public is interested in.
Other judges have expressed a concern for protecting jurors from the onslaught of the press, of what federal judge William Young once described as a gauntlet of Kleeglites, a masked phalanx of newspeople with microphones thrust forward, making jurors like the fox pursued by hounds. Yet Young withheld the jury list for only 7 days in that case. Appeals courts have recognized that jurors may be citizen soldiers, but they're soldiers nonetheless. Robert Birchie of the New England Newspaper and Press Association.
So part of the distasteful duties of being a juror may involve having to deal with phone calls from the likes of me and others.
That's right, and you have an absolute First Amendment right to say, thank you for calling, but I'm not interested in talking with you. Please don't call me again.
One local judge who tried to balance competing interests in more orderly fashion was now retired State Superior Court Judge Robert Barton. While presiding over 150 murder trials, he took a different approach to jury lists.
I would thank them for their service and also tell them that the news media is going to try to track them down in the future. And rather than be bothered at home or elsewhere, why don't we have one or two representatives go out now? And so it was orderly. Now is the time, rather than be haunted at home for the next 6 months.
On the day of the verdict, after the jurors had recommended Tsarnaev be put to death, Judge O'Toole told them, quote, "In a democracy, criminal trial should not, as a general rule, be decided by juries that remain anonymous. So your names and towns and cities of residence will eventually be made public. It's only a matter of time," O'Toole said, in acknowledging what the law dictates he should do, even though he has not yet acted and not yet responded to motions to release the list. Again, Robert Birchie.
But by failing to rule for 3 months on this motion, the judge is really inhibiting the process of allowing the judiciary to determine what is the correct outcome in this case.
Meanwhile, last week, one member of the jury who has been writing a book about the case spoke about the trial to WBZ-TV. But the juror insisted on appearing in shadows and on withholding his name during the interview. Thus, the juror remains anonymous, just like the others, able to make claims that cannot be challenged because the judge has not released his identity. There is a reason that jury deliberations are conducted in secret, the judge told the jurors before dismissing them in May. In this case, as the judge himself has acknowledged, that secrecy does not extend to their identities. In a statement yesterday afternoon, the clerk of court stated, "The handling of motions before the court is entirely at the court's discretion." For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.